Welcome to the conference calling center. Please have your passcode and conference leader's name available, and a coordinator will assist you momentarily.
Thank you for calling. Your passcode, please.
RR3.
Thank you. And your first and last name followed by spelling.
My first name is James. My last name is Dishon. It's Dishongh.
Thank you. I will go ahead and join your line, and you will hear silence until the call begins.
All right, thank you.
The call is also being recorded. You're welcome.
And test, test, test. This is for the Verizon operators. We're starting session RR3, 1 p.m. Tuesday, April 9. Perfect. Thank you.
Gosh darn, darn. Do we have the NomCom folks in the room yet, or no? Okay, no. Well, for those of you on the audio bridge, we'll stay and break for until the NomCom folks get here and are ready to go. Thanks. enjoying the rhythm in the room, but thank you for muting, I suppose.
Somehow I'm getting a lot of...
Hello?
Yeah, I have to walk into another room because it's coming out of my...
Bob, could you mute your line, please? Bob, please mute your line.
I had it muted, but...
Thank you. Mute it again.
Is there anyone speaking or not?
No, Bob, there's not. There's not, thank you. Not at the moment, other than me. just for those listening remotely, there's a comment there with anyway. We're awaiting the arrival of the NomCom folks for an update, so we are still in our lunch break for the moment. In a couple of minutes, we're going to move on.
I'll dive into that. Since we've got some folks in the room, can we use this extra time and talk about just some housekeeping issues? Talked about some housekeeping issues within the stakeholder group, if that works for folks. So I wanted to chat a little bit about our payment and banking arrangements that we have right now. And I think that in the past there was concerns about, the treasurer having, you know, those funds or whatever. And so we now have that where we're operating through ICANN, and they are both processing the dues payments as well as any payments to, like, to outside vendors or, like, if one of these folks buys something and then wants a reimbursement from the stakeholder group, then we have to ask ICANN to reimburse them. And the point of that is this is excruciatingly slow. And as business people, I think you appreciate, like, when you – ask something for payment to happen and then 60 days later you're still getting calls from people like, why haven't I been paid? And it's just, you know, it's a very painful thing. And so we're exploring some different alternative ways to manage our finances in ways that would be more convenient and I think more familiar to a tech-savvy audience like the registrars. The problem is we want to do all those things without actually forming an entity. You know, there's that catch, and so that kind of limits our abilities to set up banking or accept credit cards or have a merchant account. And so we're looking at things like PayPal, and we do currently process membership payments via PayPal, and then we have a separate PayPal account. But one question would be that I'd like to put to the membership is that working? Do people just not care if I had to send you a check that it might take 60 to 90 days to actually, you know, it's not that bad. Sometimes it's 30 days, but if you had to submit an invoice for membership, would you be put out if there was like a 3% handling charge for PayPal tacked onto that? Or I just kind of want to put this around to the room. Is this a problem that you guys feel as a membership? Is it just something that, you know, the Treasury's office and Kristen, who's not here, we just have to kind of suck it up? Or you know, what are your thoughts on that? because it would cost us money, and we don't want to. I think we're very confident we don't want to create a legal construct to run the finances. So we're trying to have it both ways, and we're just trying to think of the best way to do it.
I'll renew the offer. I still have a separate numbered bank account. You know, that is an attorney trust account administered under the regulations of the state where I'm licensed for the registrars. Actually, it still has a balance of $108 in it and 27 cents. So, you know, I'm perfectly willing to do that. The funds in an attorney trust account are not mine. They can only be deposited and withdrawn at the direction of the client, which would be the registrar constituency. You know, I'm still willing to do that, probably, you know, for administrative reasons. Otherwise, just shut the account down, you know, sometime in the next couple of months because it's just been kicking around my accounting system. But, you know, I'm perfectly willing to do that on a volunteer basis at no charge.
Thanks, John. And I wasn't sure why we went away from that. I obviously haven't been on the job very long, and I was wondering if it was because you guys didn't want to do that anymore. So thanks for clarifying that you were still willing to do that.
There was
am I tipping over sacred cows here?
No. Let me put it this way, I don't want to offend anyone, but at one point in time, back when I think Bobbin was the president of the constituency, there was a suggestion that, you know, perhaps the RC had about a surplus of about $45,000. And, you know, there was a suggestion at that time, that was around the time of the VeriSign settlement and so forth, that, you know, perhaps the registrar constituency could use those funds to engage, you know, counsel. And, I mean, even in the context of the negotiating team, you know, you're negotiating with ICANN and you hire an attorney to help negotiate with ICANN, your bank balance is visible to your, you know, your negotiating partner, and they're writing the checks to the RC's counsel. So, I mean, they can calculate the burn rate and know exactly, you know, what you have in reserve. Now, there was an unusual circumstance where, we kept that account going for years from the time that I was treasurer back in, 2002 or whenever it was. There came a time at which the RC had a treasurer who, for reasons that were never really articulated clearly, was uncomfortable with that arrangement and said, well, let's move it all to ICANN. And about 2 months after that happened, this RC treasurer then became an ICANN employee. It was kind of interesting that there was talk of using this as a reserve fund for the RC to get its own independent legal advice. And then the person who made that decision to move our funds to ICANN's management then became a member of ICANN's management. That's, you know, those are the observable facts. I honestly don't think there's anything, you know, going on there, but it looked and felt a little funny. I was a little surprised by it because, as you said, it then introduced these accounting problems where there's been a progression of there's been turnover and a progression of ICANN staff that have made it difficult for us to get timely information. Whereas, you know, when the checks were coming into my office, we could, you know, report and account for them immediately. We could accept PayPal, we could take pet checks, we could take wire transfers, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. And one thing I forgot to point out is since they went to ICANN, sometimes they get commingled with your actual ICANN registrar fee payments. So they will, like, the account balance will shoot up tens of thousands of dollars with, you know, weird little, and then it will go away. And, you know, I mean, just imagine if, you know, you had to run your own bank account like that, and I think, you know, by two or three arm's length. So thanks for the history on that, John. You know, I've always thought that if I've heard in the past that there were folks that were there were some situations or some situations with previous treasurers that made folks uneasy about having certain arrangements. And I'm like, you know, you shouldn't be voting for someone as a treasurer, honestly, if you don't feel like you can trust them with the membership
Well, no, it was before I had become treasurer and set up that account, which I still maintain. The RC treasurer would open a personal checking account, you know, into which money would come and money would go, and it's sort of like, well, you know, they were sort of treating it as not theirs, and you know, they could get into tax situations or something like that. But you know, a licensed attorney in the United States has the ability to set up a bank account that is money that is not theirs, belongs to the client, is overseen by a regulatory body to make sure that there's no, you know, funny business going on, and that is, you know, used solely at the direction of the client.
Okay. And also want to point out that, you know, a lot of these creative things that we're coming up with are being done to avoid establishing a formal legal construct, you know, whatever you want to call it, for the for this association. However, I don't want to completely rule out that that might be something we would want to explore in the future, especially if the ranks of the membership were to grow significantly, and particularly if we start looking at members who want to pay in other currencies from other areas that may or may not have tax implications for them. I understand that the BC, the treasurer of some of the other stakeholder groups, has approached me and said we need to find a better solution because we have members that can't submit a check to a U.S. entity or something without incurring some sort of tax or legal issues or something. So, I mean, this is it should seem like a really easy thing to do, but it's turned into a very hard thing to do. And I'm asking the membership, I guess the first question is I'm asking is, do you care? Is this impacting anybody at all? Or is it just, you know, is it something you want to see changed? Is it something you want to see fixed? Is it something where you say, oh, you know, it's $500 plus I have to pay a 3%, 5% PayPal fee or whatever, you know, is it just, I can live with that and, you know, but I'm just kind of opening up the discussion of should we be working hard to fix this? Should we just close that $108 account? Should we transfer all the money to Pennsylvania? What's up? What do you want to do?
It's your money. We can also just throw a big party and spend it if you guys want. So,
well, we almost did with Becky.
Yeah, we thought about it. Yoav?
I just think it would be better if we don't have our funds with ICANN. Managed by ICANN. That's my personal on the
moment. Okay.
So whatever you find out is a better solution, just, you know, do it.
I would also add that the attorney trust account is a non-interest-bearing account. Yeah. There is no financial advantage to me in doing that. The interest is actually credited to a board in Pennsylvania that oversees interest from attorney trust accounts and uses them to provide low-income legal services or something like that. But the point being, there's no benefit to me in maintaining the account whatsoever.
Thanks. So that's a good idea, Yoav. Now we know John's not keeping the float.
So Bob Connolly sent me a comment.
Okay, Bob.
He said
Bob?
It worked well using John's attorney account when he was the secretary.
Okay, so let's turn the question on its head. If we were to go back to the old way, any strong concerns or heartburn or opposition to that? And obviously we would have to put this to, you know, something to the list for the folks who aren't here. But we're just having a discussion right now. I mean, is that?
I think.
We're trying to have a discussion.
I'm talking to a room full of people checking their email.
Yeah,
but I'm calling it a discussion.
I think. Well, I'll take the other point. I think Jeff Eckhouse had some concerns in terms of you know, my objectivity or something like that. And again, you know, I legally have no discretion, you know, over the funds. And in the event of my demise or something like that, control would pass to my tax attorney, his firm, who would be under the same obligations relative to it. So I think some of his concerns arose from not understanding, you know, how an attorney trust account works and what the relevant regulations are. But there, you know, there can be any number of reasons, my goodness, that people could have some sort of a personal issue or concern about me. And that's, you know, that's understandable. But my whatever I may be engaged in my role as an attorney in other engagements, my limited engagement with the RC with respect to maintaining these funds is, you know, in my opinion, inviolable, and I could be, you know, disbarred for, you know, I'm not going to run off to, you know, Brazil with the RC treasury or something like that. But, you know, I would be putting my license on the table in the event that, you know, anything unusual were to occur.
And that's good to know. And I guess the more likely thing would be, or the more pertinent question, John, would be, do you intend, either you or your firm, intend to be a participant in the stakeholder group for the foreseeable future? Or do you have, I mean, because I know you're involved with the with some applicants.
That's a great question. My, you know, I, for the foreseeable future, will continue to represent iRegistry. Uniregistry, the new TLD applicant to whom I am an advisor on intellectual property issues, intends to operate its own captive registrar, which will likely also become a member of the constituency. But, you know, with respect to taking direction from the RC treasurer on the receipt and disbursement of funds, it's difficult for me to imagine a situation in which my function in that role would be at all, you know, affected by anything else.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? Anybody want to weigh on this? Weigh in on this? I mean, ultimately, it's your money, and you know, we took it and we used it. Becky, I think, for those of you who weren't familiar with her role in the RAA negotiations, she started off probably did about $250,000 worth of work for $30,000. And, you know, if there's something, I think that would be the other side of it. We're talking about ways to manage that money. But if you have ideas for how it should be used, that's also something that we're looking at. Because now that we have that expenditure out of the way, we're looking for ways that it can be used to the benefit of the members to advance our interests, you know, within ICANN. And, you know, I think Becky was an excellent use of those funds, and looking for feedback on that. Thanks,
James. I'll put myself in the queue. You know, one of the things that we've talked about and tried to kind of move forward with as an XCOM for a long time is this notion, you know, we I guess a couple of years ago at this point, it's been used to have what was called the Registrar Stakeholder Group Advocate, which essentially was someone that, you know, kept track of the ICANN issues out for public comment, solicited feedback from members, wrote, you know, initial statements, sent it back out for feedback, made updates, things like that. And we have not had that. And so it's really been left to the members sitting up here on the XCOM to try to manage that. And frankly, we've done on my personal estimation, I think we've done a fine. I was going to use a worse word, but we've done a terrible job. I'll use correct language. Sorry, I shouldn't curse. So we have tried to get some funds put together to try to bring that back into the group so that we again have that role, because there's just so much coming at us at any given time. It's frankly just near impossible for us to try to manage that. And so in terms of spending money, I think very clearly that's an area that we need to spend money on, but I'm also interested in hearing from members what their thoughts are, A, and then B, if they have I'll put you in the queue. If they have any ideas of who that person might be, frankly, that would be welcome too, although you don't have to say it in an open forum. You can pull me aside afterwards. Michaela, go ahead.
Well, just first off, just speaking to the initial thing about the finances, I think I've seen on the few people on the chat and Skype and elsewhere echoing the thought that moving the money away from ICANN makes a lot of sense. And for us, I mean, we've already had issues with ICANN's accounting, even for our own fees, and this kind of weird thing where ICANN decided to send us 3 or 4 invoices at the same time, even though they had different dates, and my accounting staff got completely confused. So, and we had similar kind of issues as well around the stakeholder group fees, and my God, Mason. But with regard, say, to the public comments and things like that, one of the issues we face as a stakeholder group is that if we miss out on making a comment on something, even if the comment is simply we think this is an important issue, which may sound a bit vacuous, but at least it means that we've made some kind of comment. It's very hard for us as a stakeholder group to come back later and say, oh my God, we've got a huge issue with this, we want to do something, because then other parties will say, hey, you totally ignored this up until now, why are you suddenly coming along at the 11th hour? Which is a, you know, reasonable enough comment. At the moment, just looking at the open comment periods, there are about a dozen, I think, unless I'm miscounting. Some of them are probably ones that you probably don't give a damn about, and that's fine. But there are other ones which would be very, very relevant to, well, your businesses and what you have to do and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Just looking at it there, there's, okay, there's one going from the bottom up. Accountability and transparency. You know, is ICANN doing a good job? There's the one on locking, UDRP locking. There's travel support guidelines. There's the security, stability, and resiliency framework. I don't even know what that is, but okay. Registration data services, root zone KSK rollover, and there's a bunch of other ones related to a whole range of other topics. And ultimately, at the moment, you know, between the REA negotiations, people having day jobs, and all that, it's been very, very hard for us to submit comments on every single one. We've chosen one or two, and we've probably missed a few. But also you as members as well, you know, take the time, submit comments, for God's sake. You know, silence can be seen as agreement.
No, I'd change that. I'd say silence is viewed as agreement, not can be. I've got Tom and Tom in the queue. Jeez. Hey, Barry Hill, wake up. Mike, come on, man, let's go.
I'm here to serve.
And that's why we'll be transferring our funds.
Slow, actually, John. Well, talking about the advocate, I mean, totally understand and appreciate the work you guys are doing. I totally understand that it's not in your time to actually go out and explain properly what you all experience, you know, and what a lot of these issues are actually about. And I guess what I find very hard currently is to, with all the masses of emails that coming in saying, oh, there's another task force, there's another initiative, and there are other things, and the PDP, and GNSO, and name some other acronyms, we all know them, and only half understand them, I guess. You know, it would be very, very good to have like a monthly, say, executive summary or something, you know, that is actually the starting point of saying to guide some kind of an proactive discussion, you know, that's ending something somewhere. You know, currently we see a lot of positive noise on our mailing list. That's how I would describe it, you know, but at the end of the day, you never really come to a conclusion, which leaves you guys in a position where you have to make up your mind yourself, you know, how you want to actually represent the stakeholder group, which is fine. I don't mind that, you know, but I guess, you know, if you would have someone we pay for, you know, who's in the duty to actually give us all the good information and summaries about that, you know, and can even explain single people what the whole thing is about, you know, in very, very broad and common terms, you know, that would be a big benefit to our group.
Yeah, Volker, do you want to respond or do you want to get in the...
No, I think that's a very good idea. Some executive summary to be presented to the group in the regular intervals would be a good thing. I wanted to add, though, that when we see public comments, and I appreciate them very much from our members on public comment phases, it's usually the same faces or email addresses that we see again and again. While this is good that we have active members, it would be nice if more members would take 15 minutes or half an hour out of their time and comment on some of the important issues that we have identified as the XCOM and put to the list as please respond here or please comment here. Because as we've seen, for example, with the Strawman proposal, the other stakeholder groups do that. They come out in force. They get their members active. They bring 100 or more public comments on the issues that they have, that they feel strongly about. And ICANN staff will then go ahead and say there's an overwhelming majority of people supporting this proposal, not in ignoring that these all come from one area of the community only. So we must be more vocal. And it will not take a lot of time, maybe 15 to 20 minutes on one topic, and you're done.
Well, that's Tom again, just to give you a reply on that. I guess we all are very willing to do so. The issue is whether you understand the topic before you can actually file a comment. And what I know from other stakeholders group that they are pretty much preparing, you know, what people should be sending out. So if we would have an advocate that's actually, you know, like giving us some kind of an already pre-written whatever, you know, we can file at that point of time. Maybe we do our individual changes to it. Would be very beneficial. But, you know, going through all that information, it's clearly impossible for most of us. You know, maybe not my company, but...
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And my response to Volker's point, I think, was going to be, I think one of the reasons we may not see more people coming forward providing feedback is the mechanism by which we're soliciting the feedback. You know, it I don't think it's... And I'll take this criticism on myself because it's... it's directed at me. You know, I don't think it's fair to expect, you know, the members to try to sort through the 100-some emails we're sending out to get that feedback. Sometimes that's the only way we have, frankly. But, you know, what I'm sitting here thinking through is that now that hopefully we're done with the real meat of the RAA discussion, so that'll free up a fair amount of time. What I think I'd like to do is set up a monthly just policy update call. You know, we'll start doing those so that we can actually, in more of a structured environment, walk through the things that are going on and try to solicit that feedback in a different form. So I will take the that's right, the registries do that. I'll take the onus on to do that. So I've got Tom and then I've got James. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to jump a queue, but you know, we just had a conversation about, we've got this you know, I don't want to say extra money, but we have some breathing room in the budget. And what if we were to you know, we're the technology arm of this industry. What if we were to build some systems to automate, you know, I'm not saying like a robot or a spam letter or whatever like that, but if we say, hey, there's a comment period and we have, you know, links that you can click that summarize it, and then maybe a little submission box that you can, you know, fill out and you know, put your name to it and hit submit, so that the whole process takes like 45 seconds. It's about as long as it takes to brew a cup of coffee. You can submit a comment. I mean, if we were to reduce the friction to submitting opinions in ICANN the same way we do to registering domain names, I think we could get somewhere. You know, and we have the brains, I think, within this membership and the skills and the dollars to you know, to make something like that happen. The other groups, as Volker pointed out, the other groups are leveraging all of these tools to do that. So there's just one idea of what we could do to ease this process.
Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I know we have a meeting later about the bylaws, but I suspect we'll have a far fewer people at that meeting than we do here, because we've got to move back and forth. But I do want to point out that we're probably 2 years behind the registries when it comes to revising our bylaws. And once we do agree on the changes, I think they probably have to get approved by ICANN and go through a public comment period, yada, yada, yada. So I would strongly suggest that we hire an advocate to help us draft the changes to the bylaws, because I think we all are pretty busy with what we're doing now, and it's not going to get done otherwise.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Yes, I'll just go ahead, John.
Yeah, if I could add something to that. You know, of all the ICANN stakeholder groups, I think the registrar constituency has the lowest dues. I know that one of iRegistry's customers pays something like $10,000 a year for a non-voting position in the BC, and that's how much it matters to them. We did have a significant reduction in the annual dues about a year after we screwed up the bank account, which was sort of the 1-2 punch in terms of our ability to, you know, organize and at least effectively channel information into a digestible form for the membership.
Yeah, and we have, you know, to go along to Tom's point about the bylaws, we have had discussions as well about, I don't know that I want to call them classes of membership, but different levels of membership based on a variety of different things, because, you know, James talks about the surplus we have, but it's actually, I mean, it's not a lot of money, so it doesn't get us a whole lot. So one of the challenges we've had in that, looking at some of the folks that have offered to provide that sort of policy counselor work, we don't have the funds to be able to afford, you know, someone that has a fair amount of experience and knows the industry and things like that. So we are challenged in that aspect as well. Anyone else in the queue? No one? McKaylee, come on.
You're always, you assume I'm going to have something to say. Well, I probably do. Yeah. Okay, fine, thanks. No, I mean, the issue around finding somebody, it's wonderful. Yes, let's get an advocate. Let's get do this. Let's get somebody to summarize the things. The problem we have is paying for that, finding somebody who actually has the skills who will pay for it. Tom has his hand up. Does that mean he's going to volunteer to pay for it? You'll do it?
No.
Oh, damn. Okay. I would not have an issue paying double the membership fee we currently pay, and actually and having that those fees go towards funding somebody who could actually put together positions for us or simplified pricey of whatever the common periods are and things like that. That, for me, personally, I would happily pay double. I mean, are any of you here, do any of you here have an issue with paying double the membership fee that you're currently paying, which is, what, $500? Yeah. Does anybody have an issue? Okay, Tom, do you have lots of things to say, or are you just waving your arms madly?
He needs the mic, though, Mr. Berryhill.
Mr. Berryhill, please, you're failing.
He's trying to, the poor guy's sitting there trying to get work done.
Absolutely. The thing is, I don't know if doubling it will do any good, actually. You know, it might be, if I hear, something like 10,000, I don't know if that's a bit too high, but why don't you guys just go ahead and say, well, we want to do that, for that we would need that budget, and that would kind of break down into that yearly fee. That, having a discussion about, do you want to double it or triple it or quadruple it, I don't think it's really beneficial. If we want to have like a proactive approach on that, why is not the XCOM thing, we need that because you guys know that best, and you make a proposal, and then the membership can actually vote upon that. That's something I'm very supportive of, at least.
Yeah, Volker, go ahead.
Another component about that is having a coherent system by which we can receive and account for payments makes it easier to, gain new members. We had a system previously where, pretty much as soon as a registrar was accredited, or if you'd heard of somebody who was in a registered, someone who had become an accredited registrar or ran into a registrar who was not a member of the constituency, somebody could just, pop a note to Kristen. Kristen could send them an intro email, take the payment, account for the payment, get them on the mailing list, so that they felt like something at least was happening in order to join. And, the conspiracies range the gamut from, was there some idea that, perhaps there were people in the constituency that, didn't want it to be, a large membership. But we did have a significantly larger membership a few years ago than we do now.
I've got Volker and Yoav. Volker?
I agree that we should first have an image of what we need. However, if we find out and make a deal or preliminary talks with a candidate and we come up with a number that no one here is willing to pay, then we have wasted a lot of time. So having a preliminary indication of what the amount could be that we would be able to spend on this would be helpful.
Yeah, Yoav, go ahead.
So I personally don't have an issue with doubling, but I think it's not the issue of how money will. If everyone here are okay with it, I think we've been talking for a long time that we want more registrars on our group, and the question is whether this will, just decrease the potential of those that might join. I don't know how can we actually check that, but
Well, I think it's a balance between wanting more registrars in general and wanting more registrars to participate. So I think the notion is if we're collecting more fees to be able to have more of a structure by which to get more engagement, then we may have less members ultimately, but I think we'll have more engaged members. And over time, if we're able to show the value of membership by having more of a structure and more of a process, then that could lead to more members. I mean, that's just my, I don't know if it, but that's my view of it.
No, it's a very good point.
Anyone else want to weigh in? Jen? Wait, hold on. Pause. We got the remote folks and
there's people on the
John's
phone.
Trying to keep up.
Where am I going?
I see no, there is another one. I'm just making him work more. It's fun. Makes the day go by a little faster. Jen, make sure you state your name for the remote folks, too. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. This is Jennifer Gore, Standard Forward, representing Web.com, Registrars Network Solutions, and Register.com. Representing Web.com. Sorry. I think that we would be in favor, similar to the Registry Stakeholder Group, to have some secretarial or administrative support, and efforts to support that would be to double, triple, whatever the appropriate budget would be. To get that support and fund them. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. What's that?
Has anybody from the NOMCOM actually joined us over here? Yes or no? No. Okay.
First thing. Oh, I see a hand. I'm on the
NOMCOM,
but I'm not the spokesmodel.
Okay. Well.
Well, the thing is, with the at the rate we're going here. We're going to have to leave here to go to the board. So if the NOMCOM has anything they'd like to say to us, they kind of need to say it to us now.
Okay. So I'm Bill Manning, and I am not the NOMCOM spokesmodel, but I am on the NOMCOM coming out of the RSAC constituency, which is a very tiny. The encouragement we have is that we have a bunch of slots to fill. And we can guess, pick random names off of the list, or pull out our Ouija board and try and find qualified candidates. It's best if you guys help us out by helping create a pool of candidates that are qualified to meet the requirements. Each constituency does have, or at least most of the constituencies have, people that get appointed by the NOMCOM. And so we need your help in finding that pool of people. If you would like to serve, fill out a statement of interest. If you know somebody that you hate, encourage them to go, and or if you like them particularly, think they would be a good fit, encourage them to fill out a statement of interest, because we need your help, basically. Is that's really what we're here to do, is to say, help us out.
Which roles need filling? I mean, which are the positions?
The roles that need filling are, there's some stuff from At Large. There's stuff from GNSO. There's stuff, the board needs slots filled. I'm primarily interested and have been following the board ones because that's where my constituency lies. So I was really hoping that our chair would be here to be able to fill out the rest of it. There is a NOMCOM link on the ICANN main page. If you are interested, you can fill out the SOIs from there. If you suggest someone, there's a suggestion box there, and we'll follow up with them. That's pretty much the NOMCOM from my perspective at this point. So I really hope somebody else comes in soon. But if not, we've done our 2 cents here. So.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. We've got about 15 more minutes and we're headed into the board. Are there, they are in ballroom B, I want to say. Yeah, it's up one level. Grand Hall A is where they are, not B. So it's It's the big. Oh yeah, it's the big room, the welcome ceremony room. Yeah, I think. Are there viewpoints, topics that we'd like to get feedback on from you guys before we go into the discussion with the board? That's a good question. We had a couple topics that we sent over to
just
them.
Just also, as whilst he's shuffling around with that, how many of you in this room are registrars who are not members of the stakeholder group? Only one? Oh, okay. But you're joining, aren't you? What do you mean potentially, yes?
You can afford it. Come on.
We know you can afford it. Weren't you just claiming you were one of the largest registrars in the UK?
So the three topics that we had sent out to the board, and this was, it seemed like a lifetime ago. It was like 10 days. RIA status and the board's view on its involvement in the proposed amendment process. The public interest specification relative to the requirement for new GTLD operators to use only ICANN-accredited registrars on the 2013 RAA, and the board's view on closed generic GTLDs and the potential impact on registrars. We usually get a list back from them. We have not done that, so it'll be interesting to see if they have anything that they'd like to talk to us about. Yeah, that's true. We do never get to it all. Yeah.
Sorry, just saying that on the microphone. They usually come up with some completely different topic that we don't really know about and end up going off. I mean, you know, we have those three topics. I think the amendment process one, after the changes that have been made, in some ways that's actually not really an issue.
Well, right, that's why I was saying this was, you know, we've sort of, but I still think just trying to hear from the board what they, how they view their role, you know, if they're comfortable with the even the limited role that now they'll have. And how they view that process. And maybe they've put some thought in, you know, to Elliot's question about, you know, are there any issues they would foresee going through that process? So I still think it's worth a discussion item, but it has a slightly different slant now since we've gotten here and changed it. Any other points that... Go ahead, Michaela.
Yeah, actually just... Rather, I'm just kind of just going off topic slightly or back on topic. For those of you who are following the Adobe chat, it's actually been projected up there. There's a few suggestions coming from people on how we could spend funds. And one I've seen several times from several quarters would be to actually put together some kind of marketing pack, as in to market the idea of joining the stakeholder group. So that kind of made sense to me. Going back to the entire thing with the board, you know, ultimately they probably have topics they want to discuss with us. Not too sure exactly what they'll be, but they'll probably have some.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they will. I was just trying to get from the group if there were perspectives or viewpoints that either on those specific topics or anything outside of those that they'd like us to drive home to the board. Or, you know, it also doesn't just have to be us interacting with the board as well. If there's folks that want to say anything in that meeting, they're more than happy to. Otherwise, we'll break 10 minutes early. You guys have 10 extra minutes to walk over there. Okay.
I'll second that
Maybe
motion.
Yeah, well, that wasn't an official motion. Okay, so we're going to get 9 minutes of our lives back. What 2:15 3? What the hell time is it? Yeah, 2:15 in the Grand Hall A.
That's up. That's just up one level.
Up one level, correct. It's the big room. Thanks.